Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready, today we'll be in the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verses 23 through 38. I simply entitled this, "A Casual Christian Becomes a Compromised Father." Here is the first half of this two-part study. Amen. So Genesis 19, we're going to finish it up. We're going to pick it up in verse 23 and just kind of make sure we cover that. But I simply entitled this, "A Casual Christian Becomes a Compromised Father." So we've seen Lot be casual when it comes to eternity and casual when it comes to his conscience. And today what we're going to see is a compromised father. He negotiates and tries to go to Zoar, which is called Little Sodom. Just, you know, so that tells you everything. So he points out to Zoar, and it's Little Sodom. Now, I am going to try to keep this as, we're dealing with incest tonight. So we have little ears, and I will try to do my best to cover this as best we can in the G version, hopefully. So just FYI. So when we get to that portion, just understand. So right now what we see is Lot's sin has brought him to this point. Now, for a casual Christian, it's bad enough for a believer to be involved in sin, but when a Christian falls into sin or is surrounded by unbelievers, unfortunately, they will always miserably fail, because eventually what happens is they begin to hang out and start getting back into the world and start partaking back into the things of the old life. And it's for Lot, he was with Abraham. And one of the things that we do have to establish right off the bat, and we did that when we first started this, but it's been so long since we've been in chapter 19, probably 4 weeks now. But 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Before I say that, I want to make sure I get this. Saturday we have men's and women's Bible studies. So the men's are at 8 o'clock here. And then the women's will be here at 10. Y'all start up at 10. And then everybody who helped out for the baptisms, thank you. All the burgers that were cooked and eaten, everything that was brought, the cleanup that happened afterwards. We had 4 baptisms, and we had 2 people who came to faith, which is amazing that we got to participate on that on Easter Sunday to be a part of that. So thank y'all for that. So 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, "If by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by sensual conduct of the wicked." So he rescued righteous Lot. Something for us to remember, and I hope you get this, it is not our job to judge. Now, if somebody's in sin, you tell them, hey, this is what the Word of God says, but it's not our job to judge who goes to heaven and who doesn't. Because, let's be honest, as we read Genesis 19, you would definitely say that Lot is not a believer. Anybody reading this would go, man, this is wicked. But God sees him as righteous. It's God who is the judge. And there will be people in heaven that you go, I cannot believe you're here. It's like, you know, and they're probably looking at you going, you? And so just understand as we look at that, it's important for us to understand that he was considered righteous in the eyes of the Lord. Now, as we get into tonight, it's going to be like you're going to be sitting there going, how? And so just remember, we're not the judge. The other thing about Sodom and Gomorrah, we have to remember that the inhabitants were given over to sodomy, to homosexuality. We covered that at the very beginning, as they wanted to rape the men in Sodom. Now, just to understand that the flesh is an ugly thing and is wicked and nasty, you can't change laws and try to put lipstick on a pig, so to say, and say, well, you know, a man and a man can be married and a woman and a woman can be married as the United States has done, and look where it's led us. We've gone into a deeper and deeper hole of depravity, because that's not enough, and they're not going to stop until they eventually take the whole alphabet. They take the whole calendar. I mean, I don't know, it was put out this week as we look at it. When you look at the Word of God, it's very clear about what sexual morality does. But if you look at the calendar alone, just in March alone, we had Transgender Day, which they did on Easter. That's this administration. You have Bisexual Month in March. April 6th is Asexuality Day. And then April 18th is Transgender HIV Day. April 18th is Non-Binary Parent Day. April 26th is Lesbian Visibility Day. March 22nd, Harvey Milk Day. 24th is Pansexual Day. The 19th is Asian and Pacific HIV Awareness. The 17th is International Day for Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia. June, you know what June is, I'm not getting into all that. July, they even took International Drag Day on July 16th. Gay Uncles Day on August 14th. October is LGBTQ History Month. I thought June was Pride Month. They're not going to stop. There are over 200 holidays or days of awareness that are in our calendar now. And we have to understand that when someone is given up to that sin, it tells us very clearly in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. So the sin doesn't stop with homosexuality. It gets worse. It tells us as they're given over to a depraved mind, and in verse 18 it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them." God shows them, and on their conscience they know that they're doing wrong. "For it is an invisible attribute, namely his internal powers, divine nature, having been clearly perceived ever since creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse." They're without excuse. "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise," and this is what happens with a darkened mind. They're claiming to be wise, but they became fools. "They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for an images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creepy things." So they're giving up to false gods. "Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their own hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to the nature. And men likewise gave up to the natural relations with men, and were consumed with passions for one another, men committing shameless acts with men, and receiving themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind, to do what ought to be done. Now this is the consequence of a debased mind. And this, tell me this is not going on in our country. They were filled with all manners of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's right decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. So this is why they're pushing it on the teenagers. And eventually to the kids. That's their next step, is pedophilia. And every time Biden rubber stamps something, and this administration rubber stamps something, they're going against the Word of God. That has nothing to do with political politics. If it's a Republican president that supports these things, again, he's going against the Word of God, and he needs to repent. But they've surrounded themselves with this, and they've made all these different days. But that was the judgment for Sodom. It was the fact that they would not help those that were in need. They were very well off. But sodomy was the main issue. And it's going to play a part in what we read tonight. And so when we get down into, you know, Genesis and Lot going down to the city, Lot didn't just involve himself with the city. He involved himself with the politics of the city. He sat at the gate, ruling on different subjects. And so he knew what they were involved in. And what did they do as soon as they didn't do what he wanted? They were ready to kill him. They were ready to kill him. And so that's, again, why are you hanging out with the ungodly? You can't live in both worlds. And eventually, he lost some of his family because of it. The son-in-laws are gone. They didn't believe him. You get to, as you look at this and you see the different examples and you see what's happening in Sodom and Gomorrah, and God has decided to judge the city. But one thing that we do know is that Lot was considered righteous. But there is a little key to that's in there in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. It says, if he was rescued, righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked. That word greatly distressed means that he was vexed. He was vexed with filthy conversation. He was vexed with the lifestyle that was going on around him. It was killing him inside, and yet he did not move. He did not go. If you are greatly distressed by sin, abstain from evil and leave. Leave. Don't be a part of it. This is one of the things that Christians need to get. It's like, look, what did Abraham do? Abraham trusted God. Abraham, he looked to the Lord and not to the world. And Lot just continues to look to the world. And so when we think about this, just remember that it was him dealing with filthy actions and conversations all day long. He was vexed. He was greatly distressed. But a casual Christian will sit right in it and not leave. You got to get up and go. And so he doesn't get up and go. So what happens? The Lord gets him up and he has to go. And he's taken by his hand out of the city, including the family. So we see in verse 23, the sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Again, just remember that Zoar is the little Sodom. That's all it is. He just picked a smaller city, same version. So he didn't learn anything. He goes right back to the same thing. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. This is a remember that God's in control. Psalm 107, verses 33 through 34. He turns the rivers into desert, springs out of water into thirsty grounds, or fruitful land into salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He will always judge evil. It may not be when you want it judged, right? He can always judge evil. I'm sorry, I hear the chips going. But he'll always judge evil, and God's in control. And so it's a reminder to us, it may not be in our timing, but we just need to trust in faith that God's going to deal with it. You keep asking the Lord to bring it to light. Reveal it. Lord, if there's evil being done, reveal it. And as it starts just plopping out, then you need to pray for grace and mercy for that person, that they would repent. And you go, man, I'm angry. Are you going to pray? Lord, as it's revealed, bring them to a place of repentance. Is there going to be grace and mercy? Like, that's a hard thing to do when somebody's hurt you. But you're like, Lord, at the end of the day, let's get them to a place of grace and mercy, and then they can be in a right relationship with you. It says, but Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, one of the things that we know for sure is in that scripture, the word look back or look back means a longing. So it wasn't a temporary look. It wasn't like, I'm going to just check the cross, right? She looked back and longed for what was in Sodom. She looked back and she longed for what was in Sodom. And she was told not to look back. And it eventually cost her life. She turns into a pillar of salt. And we talked about that last week. Y'all need to stop longing and looking back at your old life. Oh man, I remember when I used to drink. Do you remember the 3 o'clock in the morning puking in the toilet? You forget that part. Oh, I love smoking weed. Do you remember putting on 40 pounds because you kept eating? And you forgot that I don't know what I did with my money. Then you're even more broke. You know, it's funny, people will get high and drink and stuff, and their problems are still sitting there waiting on them the next morning. And then usually the problems are worse. It's like, don't look back, longing to look back. It's like the Egyptians, right? Man, we used to have this fruit. We had all this stuff in Egypt. They were slaves. You have God. Keep moving forward. Keep your hands to the plow and keep moving forward. She lingered. She lingered. And it's sad, because for us, it just reminds me of that song, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. Sodom behind me, right? And it's that longing that got her in trouble. Don't spend time trying to think about some old flame or old man, I remember when I used to hang out with my boys and we used to go do, nah, you need to stop all that stuff. Stop it. Stop longing for what was in the past when God has so much more in front of you that's victory. And see, what happens is we start getting trials and tribulations and sufferings. And I told y'all at the beginning of the year, that was our verse, that you're appointed for them, right? Get ready, they're coming. But don't long, start longing and looking back. Lord, I know you're in this moment with me in this storm. I'm going to keep my eyes on you. And so we tragically, a lot of people will start longing and looking back to the wrong things, and then they end up back in that lifestyle. In verse 27, it says, "And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord." So he goes back to the place where he was with the Lord. And what does he do? He does it early in the morning. This is something for us to remember. Like, this was Abraham's heart. Now, Abraham, next chapter, is going to blow it. So don't think, oh man, Abraham's the best. Abraham's going to blow it the next chapter, okay? So, but in this moment, he's doing what he's been called to do, which is to get up early in the morning, and he just wants to be in the place where he was with the Lord. Do you have a place like that in your house? I know some of y'all may have prayer closets, or you have like a designated place where you do your reading and your word, and it's just, that's your place with God. That's cool. Early in the morning, you need to start your day seeking God. Seek first the kingdom of God for your day. And you go, man, I got to get up. I got to jump in the car. I got to get to work. Well, put the word of God on in the morning. And then spend some time praying for the family, for your kids, in the car, on the way, in the traffic, right? In verse 28, it says, "And he looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah and towards all the land of the valley, and he looked, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like smoke of a furnace." So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. Now, Zoar was supposed to be destroyed. But that's where Lot went. And man, I would love that. God remembered, put your name there. He remembers you every morning. Like, he wants to hear from you. You're never away from the presence of God. It's whether or not you want to enter into it or not. Right? God's presence is with us all the time. He's omnipresent. He's with us. He's everywhere at the same time. But it's like, do you enter into that presence? Do you, like, man, God, remember Michael. I'm here. I need help. Right? Or God, remember Michael. Hey, I need to pray for this family member who's sick, or this is going on. Like, this is such a beautiful piece of scripture. It's a small thing, but he says God remembered Abraham. And who else did he remember? Lot. Lot. And so you can imagine at this moment, I mean, maybe Abraham, we don't know. Maybe he had been praying for Lot. We definitely know he was negotiating in that moment for Lot. Or not really negotiating, but just saying, hey, Lord, if there were at least 10 righteous, right, would you save the city? And so he was doing that because of Lot. He was doing that because he didn't want to see people perish. And God remembers. He brings Lot out of it. And it's a great lesson for us to remember that as we think about that, it is very easy for us to criticize people sometimes. It's easy, like, let's be real. How many of us have read the scripture and we're criticizing Lot? Like, come on, dude. But you have people in your life you do that with. Will you stop and pray for them? Like it would be cool to go, God remembered Ira and saved Mike. Maybe I'm in trouble. Something's going on. We go to the Lord.
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.